This content is for institutional investors and information purposes only. It does not contain investment, financial, legal, tax, or any other advice and should not be relied upon for this purpose. The materials are not tailored to your particular, personal, and/or financial position. If you require advice based on your specific circumstances, you should contact a professional advisor. Opinions expressed are those of the speakers as of the date of publication, are subject to change without notice, and do not necessarily reflect Mercer's opinions.
Welcome to Critical Thinking, Mercer's regular deep dive into investment topics driving portfolio decisions. I'm your host, Manish Solanki, head of Mercer Sentinel Group in Europe, which conducts operational due diligence of asset managers, amongst other services. I'm based in London and have been at Mercer for over 22 years. This week, we'll be exploring why conducting operational due diligence is growing in importance for so many of our clients. In our work to assess over 500 asset managers per year, we are seeing added operational strain for managers to resource, which sometimes creates risk of operational failures. Joining me to unpack the key challenges faced by asset managers are Ashley McDowell, based in George in South Africa, and is one of our senior experts conducting operational due diligence. She has over 19 years of experience and has been with Mercer for 6 years. Tony Martinez, my counterpart and head of Mercer Sentinel in Americas, based in Boston, has over 25 years of industry experience and has been with Mercer 9 years. Thank you both for joining me. So, why are clients commissioning us to do ODD on their behalf? I guess the primary reason is to protect against any downside risk. As we'll come on to in a bit later, investing in alternative asset classes has been a key theme over the last few years as investors navigate the macro headwinds and look for alpha. Around 30% of the deep dive ODD projects we do are in private market space and where we see what we call boutique firm risk. The other reason is that trustees and stakeholders of institutional assets need to demonstrate good governance, that they are doing all they can to protect the assets under their remit. Our clients want to understand what is going on under the hood in the operations at an asset manager so that they can make an informed decision to move ahead with an investment or not. So to kick off, perhaps we can have an overview of the key operations risks we are seeing at asset managers that are increasing operations risks for our clients. Ashley, do you want to kick us off?
Yes. Thanks, Manish. Well, over the last few years, I think that there are some themes that have definitely been really apparent to me. These would include regulatory changes, market volatility, the increased complexity on investment products, technological advancements, and an increased focus on ESG. If we look first at regulatory changes, we definitely see an increase of operational risk through the increased compliance costs and the operational complexity of putting in place new or changed regulations. In Europe this year especially, we see in the implementation of the Digital Operational Resilience Act, or DORA. The whole industry is captured by DORA, regardless of the size of AUM. And a large regulatory change, such as this one, can definitely create a strain on resources. There are increased costs facing asset managers through the adoption of new systems or of hiring new members of staff. And of course, with regulatory change, there's always the potential for fallout in the event of non-compliance. As for technological advancements, as an industry, or just in general, regardless of where we work, we rely on technology more and more. There's so many ways that technology can be used to create efficiencies, and we are seeing this with the increased use of generative AI tools. But this reliance has the potential to increase operational risk. We just need to look back 7 months to the CrowdStrike outage that affected the entire world last July. And although within the asset management industry, I would say on speaking to the asset managers, that many firms came out of that situation relatively unscathed, it showed us all how vulnerable we are. And it demonstrates the importance of putting in place those processes and controls to help mitigate the risk that these types of situations could present. I also mentioned the increased focus on ESG. We've seen new regulation. In Europe, we've seen the Sustainable Finance Disclosure Regulation being adopted. In addition, clients are looking at more ESG-specific strategies, and asset managers need to ensure that the investment guidelines and restrictions included within these strategies are being adhered to. There is so much data that is now being consumed by the asset managers that needs to be stored. And we're also seeing regulators scrutinizing the claims that asset managers are making with regards to ESG. A number of firms, in fact, were fined last year because of greenwashing claims.
Thanks, Ashley.
A couple areas we just see of why this is increasing. Ash, you talked about it real quick, increased complexity in products. I see the complexity as evolution in these products where managers are meeting the market demand with the investment opportunity. I see the phrase as democratization of alternatives that really kind of captures this nicely. So what did that mean? In the US, we're seeing the shift of public to private assets. We're seeing the vehicles go from not liquid to liquid, increased liquidity in these vehicles across all client segments. Using the wealth management segment as an example, that this complexity in products requires more education and due diligence to help the advisors at this wealth managers explain to their clients the nuances, the risks, the benefits, and who is the best of the best, right, of these evolving products. So it's a very, very interesting space to be in, but also I think we're being helped by some macro factors. Looking at OCIO and again, looking at some of these wealth management platforms, ODD is a requirement now to be part of these aggregation platforms. Whether you're an OCIO provider or whether you're an RIA trying to bring scalable investment solutions to your big client base. So this theme, the increased complexity, the nuances, the changes with respect to how these investments are implemented and operated day to day is definitely the theme in the US and where we're spending the bulk of our conversations when reviewing managers. The other aspect I would highlight of change and why risk is increasing is increased globalization and looking at globalization, rethinking about globalization. Using terms like right-shoring, near-shoring is just replacing offshore, right? Where are you going to do business? How you're going to do business? That is all evolving. And it's evolved because we've outsourced for a very long time in our industry. Now we're getting very, very tactical with what, who, and where, and our offshore partners are getting more sophisticated in the needs of the markets because a lot of multinational and global companies are doing the same thing. That's embedding and increasing talent in these areas. So for the firms that are right-shoring, near-shoring correctly, they're benefiting from the increased talent and efficiencies that this will bring. But understanding every company manager is different and how they're doing it is different, again, front row seat, these are the discussions we need to have with firms. How will that impact their business? How are they going to ensure shareholders are ultimately protected throughout this great shift of work? Lastly, this all ties to AI and cyber. It's data. Data management challenges. The volume of data we need to get. The availability of private market data, right? Which isn't as robust as public data. All of that needs to be governed, managed, and put on a data strategy roadmap. Okay. As we become more AI focused and data resilient, getting good data in for good data out and analysis out is even more critical for these AI tools to work. So these are some of the themes, Manish. You know, you're looking at regulatory, you're looking at operational, you're looking at the where firms are doing work, tremendous change impacting firms, the people, and the technology they use to implement investments for investors.
Thanks, Tony. So I guess these are the challenges that are facing asset managers. How are they actually managing and mitigating these potential risks? Ashley, did you want to sort of pick that up again, please?
Yes. Thanks, Manish. There's obviously lots of different ways and different things that can be done to mitigate these risks. But I think a key starting point is for asset managers to establish a robust risk management framework. This would include clear policies and procedures, appropriate governance structures, which may include some independence, and also segregation between those with risk-taking responsibilities and those maintaining oversight or control over the risk-taking function. One of those is compliance. So as the second line or control function, compliance is critical. In the previous topic, I was talking about the risk of regulatory changes. So comprehensive compliance programs helps firms to ensure that they are adhering to their regulatory requirements. And also they should be training their staff on their roles and on their responsibilities associated with that role on an ongoing basis, as this is going to help mitigate the risks with regulatory change as well. We've discussed a lot about how technology is advancing too. It's advancing all the time. And to help mitigate risks, asset managers must be embracing those changes and using the technology to improve efficiency and to reduce operational risk. Over the years, we've seen in conducting our operational due diligence assessments, we've seen the move from on-premise data centers to predominantly cloud infrastructure. This helps to provide robust disaster recovery solutions, greater security enhancement, but it also improves the scalability and flexibility that asset managers have, reducing their risk of an over or under provision of infrastructure. We're also hearing more about how AI, that buzzword again, technology is being utilized to create efficiencies. An example of that within the control function actually is how AI technology is being used to support trade surveillance as part of that compliance monitoring program. But as always, with technology, it unfortunately is not only being used for good. And asset managers need to make sure that they've got robust cybersecurity measures in place to ensure that they're protecting their sensitive data and their network and systems. I was just actually looking at our statistics, and I thought it was really interesting to point out that of the technology-related operational risks we've identified as a global team over the last 2 years, a lack of appropriate cybersecurity awareness training and the controls associated with that still makes up over half of those risks that we identify. I think that this, coupled with a lack of data security controls, is quite scary, as it really does make firms more vulnerable to attack. Already, the CTOs that I speak to, or we speak to as a team, they're really saying that it's a case of if, not when, they're subject to attack. So the focus has to be on controls and mitigation, those risks frameworks, and the governance and oversight around all processes. I also read recently that it's estimated that phishing attempts last year resulted in a global financial loss of approximately $17.4 billion. This is an increase of 45% on 2023. So again, these numbers, that's staggering, and I actually think it's quite scary. The ways of attacking are becoming more and more sophisticated, and it's so important to ensure that your staff are constantly aware that they're well-trained and that there are appropriate controls in place to help protect against intrusion.
Thanks, Ashley. We're going to come back to cybersecurity again. It's such a hot topic. But before we go there, Tony, are there any other areas that you see asset managers beefing up on their operational processes to manage some of these challenges on behalf of our investors?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And just picking up on some of the themes Ash was saying when she mentioned data centers to auditors to custodians, there are a ton of third parties that managers rely on to get their day-to-day business done. Okay, so that's really an ecosystem. So third-party risk management has been an area of focus, I think, across the globe, and particularly in the US, where managers are implementing more robust third-party risk management programs to assess the risks associated with their partners that they bolt on to their business. That's all driving further scenario analysis and stress testing, right? This is the known unknown. I think Ash mentioned it, right? The CTO conversation, not a matter of if, but when. When you use more third parties, right, you're delegating responsibility through these third parties. Therefore, you're subject to their policies, procedures, and security measures across cybersecurity and other aspects. Really knowing the contractual terms, the connectivity between that, the scenarios on the what, if, when, if this happens, this has been a different mind shift, I think, as firms and managers are evaluating their geographical footprint on where work is being done and how they could oversee and ensure that the work is being done is compliant with local regulation and is being done to expectations, right, in terms of that work shift. All that leads to a big evolution that we're seeing in the US is the increase of key risk indicators, or KRIs or KPIs, key performance indicators. So using third parties now are coming with certain delivery requirements and expectations. And then in some of these aspects, revenue clawback. So if you're not getting the service you need or expecting from your provider, having that oversight mechanism, that clear as day of expectations and what happens when things go wrong, that's been the new thing being implemented in evaluating third parties. And then finally, I would just say fostering a risk-aware culture. We just talked about all this change happening in real time. We have real humans doing these jobs. And it's not just one person who's responsible for risk and making sure everyone else is. This is really promoting the culture in your organization. So promoting this culture of risk awareness while things are changing very rapidly at a very detailed level, this open communication about risk that firms are seeing, better testing, better training, no reprisal, in case you see something, say something. That's everything we want to see. And that's what we're seeing asset managers do as they're all traveling at different speeds of this evolution that we're seeing in our marketplace.
Thanks, Tony. I mean, that is a lot for managers to do. And, you know, the question is, are they actually implementing these strategies when margins are being squeezed for so many? All of these practices would be ideal to have in place, but ultimately they need to be resourced, which costs money, right?
Mm-hmm. Manish, I think when you look at it, I look at it as a spectrum, right? You have the big, large, sophisticated players on one end, and you have the new emerging managers, the new players on one end. In the US, as we're commissioned by our clients, we're seeing demand move towards this smaller, nimbler emerging manager structure, right? Particularly in the private alternative space. I think the key here is understanding where the firms are at, right, in terms of institutionalness. So going back to the scale, the big players, right? We're expecting certain things. So when we do our ODD, we're more on the ground level, call it per se. It's getting into the weeds of the policy, the details, how they do things to a degree and in very, very deep level. With the emerging manager going to the other side of the scale, you almost got to lift up a bit, right? Take that 10,000, 20,000 foot view. Do you have the right people? Do you have these policies and structures? So it's different conversations, but our hope is to guide these emerging managers to get them further up the institutional scale. That requires us, when we're working with, say, smaller managers or managers maybe not as robust or institutional, it's understanding the firm, the owners, their culture, how they got together, what's the strategy. Some of these emerging managers come from very institutional places, and they adopt and bring that institutional mindset to the firm that they're building. There's other emerging managers that have young, successful investors, right? That maybe haven't gone through some of the pitfalls a more experienced or seasoned professional may have gone through in 08 and prior to that. That's just kind of highlighting that scale. Working with both are very important, but not only are they implementing what they're hearing from us in our reviews, they're asking for advice on the best way to do it. And I think that's been a big difference, at least in the US, seeing that posture shift of, ODD is here to check on if I'm doing the right things. A more open arms to, hey, here's how we're doing things. Where are we not aligned and how can we get further aligned? Because ultimately everyone wants to get up that sophistication scale. Manish, to your point, it's cost, it's the ability to implement. And that's why we look at it as a spectrum here in the US.
Thanks, Tony. Ashley, when we're conducting these ODD projects with a team, what are the key risks we are finding and where do you think managers could do better?
With this, I think there's probably four risks that come to mind. First of all, cash controls. It's a big topic, can result in huge financial losses for asset managers. There's specific things that we're looking at when assessing if there's risk within this topic. We're looking that there is dual approval on authorized and any cash payments. We're looking for the involvement of the fund administrator, ensuring that callbacks are conducted. I'm always reminded of a manager I reviewed a couple of years ago, actually, who had been unknowingly subject to a phishing attack. The attacker had gotten access to the CFO's inbox, and when they sent out a call notice, responded to that manager's LPs to let them know that the call should be paid to new bank instructions. Thankfully for the asset manager, due to some quick thinking by one of the LPs, the attempt was thwarted, but I think this is a really good real life example of where things can go wrong and where you need to have good controls, callbacks, multiple authorized signatories, et cetera. We're also looking at security valuations. It's something that is high on the minds of regulators and investors alike. They're really focused on how underlying assets are being valued. We really want to see independence from investments in the entire process, whether that's achieved through engaging administrators to price liquid instruments or having robust processes that include external reviews and non-investment function involvement when pricing illiquids. We've spoken about cyber. It's cyber, cyber, cyber. And we've done quite a deep dive already within this topic. But I think, again, it is so important. And it's worth saying that in the last 2 years, the IT-related risks accounted for over 17% of the risks that we've identified across asset managers across the globe. So it really is a key focus. And again, risks associated with generative AI, we're seeing it being used more. It's the buzzword of all conversations at the moment. And there are some very real risks with using these new tools.
Yeah, Ashley, thanks. AI is a topic on everyone's lips. I'm personally finding it great use. Just last week, I needed to write a complaint letter to a company in Italy and used AI to draft and translate it. Took me about 15 minutes when previously I would have had to just drop the grievance. But in asset management industry, there must be some concerns. Ashley, could you perhaps take us through some of these?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Manish. Again, I think I can bring it back to my point, what something that should be implemented as an initial stance with regards to looking at operational risk, and that is the importance of risk management frameworks. There's been a recent survey of asset managers, and interestingly, it's highlighted that only 12% of those managers that were surveyed have implemented an AI risk management framework. I think this is showing a real gap in the governance and the oversight of these new technologies. Another area, I think, when we're looking at operational risk in general, something we speak to asset managers about is their change management processes. Before implementing any new application, we want to make sure, and asset managers should be making sure, and they typically are making sure, that everything has been thoroughly tested. It's gone through a UAT process. They're fully confident that the application is going to work the way they expect it to work. Operational risk can arise if these aren't, or these new applications aren't being tested appropriately. And the vast majority of firms, like I said, are testing new applications, but it's been identified that appropriate testing is not in place of AI tools to make sure that the tools are working in the way that you think it will. There's also, as we said, we're all using AI in our everyday lives, and we have been through trainings on the AI as well. And I think all of us have a feeling of, can we trust it? I think that is a very real risk. We know that AI can hallucinate. We know it can provide inaccurate output. And it is really, really important that asset managers are training their staff appropriately in how to use AI, and that AI is being used in an appropriate way. I find it useful, as you said, Manish, to translate things, to read lengthy documents, but I wouldn't use it, for example, to form an opinion on operational due diligence I was doing. I don't know what you think, Tony.
Yeah, a lot there, Ash. I feel me and you could talk all day on this. You know, as I sit here, I agree with everything you just said. I think we're currently in the early innings of this AI baseball game. So understanding not only where managers are currently at with respect to implementing AI and employing these new tools, but where is their direction of travel going with AI? Okay, this is all happening in real time right now. We've seen examples in the US of AI being implemented in an investment process. We see AI implemented in back and middle office operations, right? The efficiency these tools will ultimately have on day-to-day operations should be a very, very powerful thing, right? But to your point, Ash, can be trusted, can be validated. That's all the stuff that's going on now. And, you know, I think that is really going to be the differentiating aspect between these managers. the manager that could figure out AI, figure out their data, be able to protect against breaches of that data, i.e. cyber, are really going to be a differentiator, I think, when looking at that. And what are the ultimate risks we're worried about, right? When we're talking about AI generally, it's just such a broad topic. We're talking about manipulated data. That could happen anywhere. Account balances, market prices, right? Think about that fraud hacking detection that could be used to mistrigger an investment idea or misreport values to a client, right? There's just a lot of areas there. AI generated voices. I know at our GIF in Nashville, we had an AI specialist there talking about the advancements in deepfakes. Between generating voices, right? In 2024, in February, there was an instance of fraud globally where someone was duped by a deepfake and wired $25 million because of a deepfake CFO told them to wire $25 million. It's already happened, okay? And I think it's going to increase, get better, harder to detect. Think of things like social engineering, phishing powered by AI. Those phishing scams, I just look at my career, used to be very easy to detect, right? Okay, this does not look like a real email. I just passed my test this morning, right? And I looked at it for about 20 minutes before I hit the button because it was so well written and so done. Using AI, the bad actors using AI against the managers, again, is going to be something worth watching. So these are all the areas. And I think, like we mentioned earlier, developing the framework, the guidance, the starting point, right? And that's the point. We have to evolve this. Whatever we figure out in terms of the appropriate way to assess these risks, whether it's internally at an asset manager or it's their defenses against cyber and AI, this is an evolution that we're on, a journey that we're on with the industry, the managers, ourselves, almost every business we deal with, the underlying investments, right, of our managers are all going to be impacted by AI. It's exciting, it's scary time. And again, I look at our role as ODD practitioners having a front row seat to this. Ash, Manish, we really got to sharpen our swords here. And I think this is really where the market looks for strong operational due diligence to give the nuance and the context of what matters to them in this evolving space.
Thank you both for such a comprehensive response on that topic, a very, very topical area. So what have we covered today? It's clear that asset managers have operational challenges that they need to manage and ensure that they're on top of. The regulatory environment seems to be adding more and more expectations. Technology, although providing great efficiencies and much needed infrastructure, also creates risks and vulnerabilities. Which brings me on to cybersecurity and AI. AI, as everyone has said, is being used in many clever ways within our industry, and we see great benefits. However, we are only just starting. Mercer Sentinel is ensuring managers understand the risks as part of the journey by recently adding AI-specific principles to our ODD process. Tony, what you mentioned about this, you know, the CFO being duped by deepfake techniques. I mean, this is all very scary stuff, and we all need to be vigilant. Ultimately, we expect all of our clients to have robust operational risk management process for their portfolio of managers, because as we have discussed, the risks are there. So that brings us to a close. Ashley, Tony, thank you very much for your valuable insights. And thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. If you've enjoyed this episode of Critical Thinking, please don't forget to like and subscribe. And if you have any questions about what we've discussed or have any topics that you'd like us to cover in future episodes, please reach out to either your local Mercer consultant or any of the Mercer Sentinel team directly. Thank you again.